ER 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. Well, childhood diseases, whooping cough, measles, were once thought of almost non-existent anymore. But now there's been a lot of resurgence of these cases because of high-profile backlash in the last decade against vaccines. My expert on this and a frequent guest of the show is Dr. Al Sacchetti, Chief of Emergency Services at Our Lady of Lourdes Medical Center in New Jersey, and Assistant Clinical Professor of Emergency Medicine at Thomas Jefferson University. So welcome back, Dr. Sacchetti. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Liam.
So, you know, it's so true that, and now there's this bizarre thing going on in California. They don't know if it's polio. It maybe kind of looks like polio. And, you know, we supposedly eradicated polio in the 70s, right? So what are you seeing?
Well, it's funny. I mean, and I'm old enough to remember as a child standing in line when the vaccine first came out to get a sugar cube with the drop of the vaccine on it.
And, I remember those sugar cubes too.
You know, every parent in the neighborhood was thrilled about that because you had the March of Dimes and you had these cases of kids who would wind up on, back in the day, what was called an iron lung, which was, you know, a negative pressure ventilator for the kids. And this was this scourge that everybody was terrified of in the 50s. And you get a vaccine comes along, and all of a sudden it goes away. And people forget how bad it was. So now you have folks saying, well, I don't really need any vaccines. I've never heard of polio. And the next thing you know, exactly what happens is, you know, in California is what happens. These diseases come back.
Yeah,
and it's scary because I'm old enough to remember what the diseases look like. I've got a lot of docs who've never seen these diseases. And they'll say to me, like, oh, was measles that bad? And it's like, yeah, it's an awful disease.
When it causes encephalitis, brain infections, where then, you know, children are irreversibly, you know, mentally
damaged,
retarded
yeah.
or something. Yeah.
If you were to stop vaccinating today, within the next 5 years, there'd be 2.7 million deaths from measles. It's the number five leading cause of death in the world for children under five. And you think about it, and it's this readily available vaccine, but people in the United States, for some reason or other, think, oh, I don't think it's a good idea to vaccinate my child against a disease that could kill them. Whereas if you go to sub-Saharan Africa and you said to these parents, hi, I have a disease that will completely prevent one of the leading killers of children in your lifetime, would you like it? They would love it, but people in the United States where it's readily available decide, for whatever reason, not to get it. And I can't imagine any reason not to vaccinate your kid.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting that you do bring this up. I mean, how many kids would die from it? And tens of thousands of kids were dying every year back then. And but think about something like, you know, when MRSA came up, which is interesting, and I said that several years ago when we first started seeing the few MRSA cases, there were one or two deaths of kids from a bacterial infection through their skin, and it was on every news channel, right? Every news station, one or two deaths, and yet tens of thousands of kids were dying every year from these diseases. And people, you're right, we're victims of our own success.
Well, think about it. Even right now, I think last year there was almost 300 deaths from pertussis. There were worldwide 16 million cases, 200,000 deaths. This is an ugly, ugly disease. If you really want to see something very pathetic,
which is whooping cough, to tell people
online,
right?
And yeah. Look at, you know, a video of a child with pertussis. Oh my God, it's heartbreaking. And yet people think, oh, I don't have to vaccinate my child for this. When my grandchildren were born, we had, you know, the holiday dinner was at our house. No one was allowed to come unless they had gotten a Tdap shot, because it was, you know, there was no way we were going to expose the infants to somebody with pertussis.
Right.
And people got a little upset. You know, I'm a fanatic and those kind of things. It's like, no. I've seen this disease. This is a disease I do not want my grandchildren or anyone else to get. It's an awful disease. And yet people have become complacent to it.
It is. And you know what? I think there was some misguided, you know, way back, even the British Medical Journal retracted that kind of association that they thought they saw something related to autism. They retracted everything, said it was obviously coincidental when you get your shots and, you know, when this other disease becomes prevalent. But even with the retractions, people still worry about it. It's crazy.
You know what's very frustrating is the lay community, the lay media, gives a public pulpit to people with no scientific justification for their points of view other than the fact that they're a celebrity. And they feel it's wonderful to take celebrities and let them pontificate about various scientific projects, whether it's genetically modified food products or vaccines. And yet the science community is just completely unheard of. You basically don't see any of them. So when you put a Jenny McCarthy onto a high-profile television show, you don't see a Nobel Prize-winning scientist on the other side saying, listen, you're just full of it, woman. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't have the Nobel Prize scientist doesn't have the topless pics in Playboy like Jenny McCarthy. Maybe if we had a Nobel laureate that did that, they'd get more press time.
I'm not so sure I want to see a naked Nobel Prize laureate. That's the only thing. But you're absolutely right. I really have to laugh at why people would believe, you know, those types of things. It's like if I need to get a new circuit board in my my house, I need a new circuit breaker. You know, I'm calling an electrician. I'm really not getting the latest guest on Jimmy Kimmel to come down and tell me what size circuit breaker I need.
Yeah, it's true. But I have to say, though, the states are starting to get a little stricter with these exemptions, right? Because there were some places that you could just say, oh, this is a religious exemption or I don't believe in it. And I have heard some good news that there are some states that are getting a little stricter with the exemptions for personal belief of no vaccination.
Right. And I think with one of the things I like is our hospital mandates influenza vaccines. And you know, early on, people were going, oh, it's against my religion. And they said, fine, bring me a letter from your preacher, your deacon, your pastor, whatever, that says it's against your religion. And that, number one, that says they have to be going to a church or a synagogue or whatever religious affiliation they claim to have. And number two, they have to have a relationship with somebody who actually believes what they're saying. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, all right, I'll get the vaccine.
Yeah, I agree. Our hospital and medical center, you couldn't work. I mean, they fired some people that didn't have the vaccine. So.
And people got upset about that. Oh, my God, they worked here for years and they fired them. But then when you look at the number needed to treat for a vaccine to prevent an illness, it's minuscule. And you look and you go, why wouldn't a hospital dig its heels in on this one? This is something that's really worth fighting for, and it's something pediatricians should be fighting for. I always have a problem where the American Academy of Pediatrics said, well, if a family wants to modify the vaccine program, you know, the pediatrician shouldn't, you know, force them to get the vaccines. I thought, no, the CDC did a lot of research on the way and the best timing to give these vaccines. Why does somebody who's got, you know, reading the back of an organic oatmeal box think that it's the better way to go is their decision on how to do the vaccination program?
Mm-hmm. So you're against even separating them, but doing them in close time? I mean, the whole point of the combination was, I think, the drug companies. It was more economical for them to just put them all together at once. I personally didn't want my son to get 30 shots versus 5 or 6, so is that what you think?
Grandkids, I'd rather have them cranky and miserable for one day and then spread it out over a couple months.
Yeah, I sort of agree with that too. It's long. Well, great conversation. Thank you, Dr. Sacchetti. We could do a whole show on vaccines because there are vaccines to prevent cancer that nobody wants to do. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.